let's get into the message today. We were going to start a series today called Don't Swipe Wrong. We were going to be looking at love, sex, marriage, relationships from a biblical perspective. And after we have gone through this last 3 weeks looking at this series, Mine, Much, and More, I just really strongly felt that we needed one more week. So we're calling today Mine, Much, One More Week. That's today. We're going to go one more week in Mine, Much, More. And we will get to Don't Swipe Wrong the week after. That's next week. We're going to go into a series on prayer and worship and hearing from God. And then finally, we're going into a series on spiritual gifts and what God does in the supernatural before we get to Easter. And I actually invited, some of you will be stoked, I invited our friend Danny Looney to come speak again to us on Palm Sunday. So a lot of you really loved him sharing. He's going to be back again coming Palm Sunday. It's the next month or two for us here as a church. But today I want to spend some more time in this particular series. Last weekend, Ladina Doherty did a great job ending this series with a message on more. And throughout this series, we've looked at the story of Jesus and the rich young ruler, we often call it, where Jesus asks a man to sell his possessions and give to the poor and then follow him. That was our message on mine. We then looked at the account of the parable of the talents. That was our message on much. When we're faithful with a little, God entrusts us with much. And then finally, Ladina did, again, a great job last week. She looked at the story of the boy with the five loaves and the two fish that fed 5,000. We looked at David and Goliath, and though David was just a cheese delivery boy, he ended up being a giant killer. And then finally, she looked at the generosity of the church in Macedonia. And so this whole concept of the series is that nothing is mine. And so we've been talking about this phrase for the last couple of weeks, and we'll put it up on the screen. Just gives a recap of the reason why we're doing this series. And it's just this statement that says what we're talking about. And here's the statement here. It's nothing is mine. Nothing is mine. It's God's. Nothing is yours. It's God. Nothing is mine. It's God. And so we're not supposed to clench our fists over the things that we have, but offer those things up to God. The next statement of this is, when I'm faithful with what God's blessed me with, I will be entrusted with much. And we talked about all sorts of examples of that. When we're faithful with what God's blessed us with, we'll be entrusted with much. And finally, out of our abundance, which is that much, out of our abundance, we'll be able to be a blessing and we'll be able to give more and do more in this life. And so that's, you say, what's the big idea of these last now 4 weeks? And this is it. This is, nothing's mine. It's God's. When I'm faithful with what God's blessed me with, I'll be entrusted with much. And out of my abundance, I can be a blessing and give more. That's where we've landed. So last week, while Ladina was giving her message, I just really felt a prompting of the Holy Spirit say, You're not done with this series yet. We need one more week. We need one more week to make this a little bit more practical. We need one more week to drive this idea home so that we can walk into 2020 a whole different place than we were in 2019. And so here's the big idea for today, and this will be a little different kind of a service. I'm going to kind of see where God leads us as we go. But the big idea for today, I'll just give it to you now. It's this, is I can't stay here. I can't stay here. And when you came in, there should have been two pieces of paper on your seats this morning. If you want to actually take one of those out, and there's a card in front of you, and it just says on the top, I can't stay here. I can't stay here. That's this big idea that I think that we need to kind of focus in on today, because God wants to do a little bit more with this series than what we've done so far. And one thing I know is that with this idea that we can't stay here, that Jesus meets us right where we are. So we know, we talk about in this church, and I wish every church talked about it, that we don't have to clean ourselves up first to come to Jesus. We don't have to get our act together. We don't need to get our life in order. We don't need to have the answers to all of our questions in order to come to Jesus. We come to Jesus just as we are, broken and sinful and needing him to do something in our lives. And so we can come to Jesus just as we are. And so church is never a place where you need to get your act together in order to come. It's a place where people who don't have their act together trust in Christ. Amen? And so we don't need to have things figured out to come to Jesus. And so we can come to him just as we are. But Jesus loves us so much that he doesn't want us to stay right where we're at. He loves us so much that he wants something better for us. And so sometimes people that have a lot of confusion and confliction regarding whether or not they want to trust in Christ, they want to be a Christian, they want to serve Jesus, a lot of those questions come down to, whoa, but if I give my life to Jesus, then I need to stop doing this or that or this. And I understand that question because it's hard to let go of things that we've held on to for a long time. It's hard to leave a place that we've become complacent and comfortable at, even though it might be a bad thing. But here's what I know. When you come to Jesus, it's not that you don't get to do the things that you used to do. When you come to Jesus, it's that you don't have to do those things anymore. That he gives you something more. He gives you something better. And what I've learned is that the more you focus in on Christ, the more you focus in on his life, his love, his death, his resurrection, the more you look at what Jesus is doing and wants to do in your life, the more desire that you have to please him. Because I can't do that on my own. My own heart's desire is not to please God. How many of you are there too? Like, your heart's desire is not to please God. Mine's not. But it's the Holy Spirit within me that's giving me a desire to please God, changing my heart, giving me a new heart. And so the longer I have been in love with and been loving and following Jesus, the more I want to please him, the more I want to be conformed into his image, because his image is far greater than mine and his ways are far higher than mine. And so Jesus will meet you right where you're at today, but I want you to know he loves you so much that you just can't stay there are things in your life, I believe, that you've resigned to. Things that you've resigned to. It's always been this way. I've always struggled with this. I've always had this illness. I've always had this pain. I've always been this depressed. I've always had anxiety like this. I have always struggled to find a good job. I have always failed at money. I blow out every relationship I've ever been in, and we've just completely resigned to how things are and how they've been, and we think that that's all we'll ever experience. And as God was just sharing with me last week while Ladina was preaching, that's the big idea I think he wants to drive home today, is some of you have resigned to things that you can't stay there anymore. That God wants to take you to the next step. God wants to take you to another level, and he wants you to see beyond the very things that you've resigned yourself to. So you can't stay here. Can't stay here. If you grew up as maybe a teenager or a young adult in the late 90s, there was the song called Closing Time. And the song Closing Time said, "Closing time." But then it went from there, just whiny closing time. It says, you don't have to go home, but you can't what? Can't stay here. My first job was working at Dairy Queen. I know there's a couple DQ alumni here today. And if I ever go to a buffet, I was at with my friend Nathan here. We were at a college campus last week in their cafeteria. And I don't know if Nathan noticed, but I had a pretty incredible curly Q on top of my ice cream cone that I made at that Biola University last week. I was like, look at this, students. Look what I've done. This 40-year-old man, look at my curly Q. You 18-year-old freshman, got nothing. So that stays with you, right? Right, Adam? That DQ curly Q, it stays with you. So, but I can remember my first job was at Dairy Queen, and then I went and worked at a sandwich place my senior year of high school. And during those times, how many of you remember maybe you worked a restaurant or you worked retail? And it was like 9:51 p.m., and you're like, it's 10 o'clock. It's when we close. And you rush to you unplug that neon open sign as quick as you can, and you rush to start getting everything ready to close, and you've closed down every seating area. And at 10:59, right when you're going to lock the door, like it's like the big youth group comes in, like, we're here for ice cream. I was such an evil person, like, and I'll just... You know, sins here, and I have my childhood best friend, if he's watching or listening, like I won't mention his name. His name was Bo. And we worked at this sandwich place together. And one time, this is how much of a sinful heart I had, and I feel ashamed saying this. Okay, one time we locked the doors like 10 minutes early, and some customers came in and were knocking, and we pointed at them and laughed. This is before I met Jesus. Like, I'm covered with God's grace, but how, if I would have been those people trying to get into that sandwich place, I would have destroyed those teenagers inside that weren't letting me in. So this idea, like, hey guys, you can't stay here, we're closing. But some of you are on the other side of that. Like, you go into a restaurant and you're there like, this is the time to have our business meeting to last for 4 hours here at this restaurant, and the waiters are just looking at you like, well, we closed 20 minutes ago, and you're like, I'd like another cup of coffee. So there's some places you can't stay. Sometimes you have to leave where you've been to go somewhere else. Just one more story I was trying to think of, like, where's some times in my life where this has happened? When I was, like, in between 7th and 8th grade, my parents brought me on this youth convention, and this youth convention, they just let us loose in Washington, D.C., a bunch of 7th graders. Like, real bad idea. There's things that I have not told anybody happened on that trip before. But we ended up in the Smithsonian Castle. The Smithsonian has a castle, and there was a video in there about the Smithsonian Castle. We're like, this is a great place to go and hang out in air conditioning for an hour. And about an hour later, some security came in and was like, what are you kids doing in here? We're like, well, we're just here waiting for the movie to start for an hour. And he's like, we closed an hour ago, and we were locked inside of the Smithsonian Castle. And this was way before Night at the Museum, but we should have stayed a little longer to see if that would have played out. But there's places that you can't stay. And so I am certainly not a list preacher, but today I actually have a list for you. I have a list of 10 things that are not mine. 10 things that are not mine that Jesus is inviting us to let go of. 10 things that are not mine that Jesus is reminding us that we can't stay there. And this might not be for all of you. I know as I was taking inventory, there's things in my life that match all 10 of these things, and maybe not you, but I just want you to listen today and be able to focus on where are some areas of my life that God is telling me I can't stay here. It's time to move forward. And if I'm holding on tightly to things that are mine, I'll never be able to move forward and cross the line where God wants to take me that will be far better than what I've been holding on to here for so long. So here's the first thing. Your plans. If you've been following Jesus for a while, you'll come to know that Jesus doesn't care about your plans. Does he? You might, well, Pastor, he does. No, he doesn't. No one will mess up your plans like Jesus. No one will throw a wrench into the plans of your life like Jesus can. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is calling his first disciples. In this chapter, he calls Peter, who is Simon, calls his brother Andrew, and he calls the brothers James and John. And we'll just read briefly verse 18 through 20. It says, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and later on James and John, and they were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Now, notice the word were. This is written after the life, death, and resurrection and ascension of Jesus. And when Matthew writes this, he doesn't say because they are fishermen. It says because they were fishermen. That's what they did. They cast nets into the sea. And Jesus said to them, follow me. And 8 of these 10 events we're going to look at and breeze through today, they're all times where Jesus asked people to follow him. The 2 that don't say follow me, it's implied. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And it says immediately Simon and Andrew left their nets and followed Jesus. Now a lot of times we'll look at that and say, well, Simon, Andrew, James, John, they were just poor peasants. But no, this was a pretty lucrative business. These guys were fishermen. And if you read the story, you can find out they were kind of like in this fishing union almost. Like they worked together. Simon and Andrew, they were working. They owned their own boat, and a boat would not have been a cheap thing. They owned their own equipment, their nets. They had an enormous amount of fish when Jesus asked them to follow him. James and John were still working with their dad. This was a family business, and their entire life was going to be spent right there at the Sea of Galilee, which is very small, by the way. And it's not the most beautiful of places. Their plan is, we're going to stick it out. We're going to do what our family's always done for generations. We're just going to bring in stinky fish day after day after day after day. We're going to make money. We're going to settle in here. We're going to live in our houses. You can see Peter's house now. But Jesus says, hey, guys, I know you think you're fishers of fish, but why don't you leave everything? Follow me and be fishers of men. I want to ask you today, do you have plans that you need to let go of? Do you have plans that you need to submit to Jesus Christ? Is there a way of life that you've committed yourself to, like fishing? Nothing bad, nothing sinful. Fishing is a good thing. Maybe your business, it's a great thing. It's a godly thing. It's not a sinful thing. But maybe God is prompting you today and saying, hey, maybe it's time to let go because you can't stay there anymore. It's time to go somewhere new. It's time to shift what you're thinking. And so I want you to ask yourself today, am I supposed to stay in my own plans, or am I supposed to submit my plans to Jesus? And with that piece of paper that you have, there should be a pen either behind you or in front of you. I'd like you to write down, if that's you, I want you to circle that. Circle this, my plans. And then some of you know what those plans are. I'd like for you underneath, I gave you just a little bit of space there. You could do it on the back. I'd like you to actually write down, what have your plans been that God's calling you today to let go of? Because I can't stay there anymore. And my plans need to belong to God. Number two, your comfort. You may have noticed this if you've chosen to follow Jesus, but following Jesus is not comfortable. There was a time where Jesus was asking people to follow him, and in Matthew chapter 8, it says, a scribe came up and said to Jesus, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus says, really? Jesus says this, he says, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus is telling this man here, like, hey, if you follow me, we are not going to be staying at nice hotels every night. If you follow me, you're not going to get to stay at home every evening. If you follow me, we don't even know where we're going to be staying. Are you willing to let your comfort go? Some of you are staying in jobs right now. Some of you are staying in relationships right now. Some of you are staying in friendships right now. And the only reason you're there is because it would be uncomfortable to break those things off. But you know that it's really not comfortable at all, and God's calling you to leave. Because you've tied yourself to comfort instead of the Holy Spirit, who is the comforter. And the Holy Spirit says, if you would let go of your comfort and if you would follow Jesus, I would give you a different kind of comfort that you might not experience in the 4-star hotel, but you might experience a new kind of peace inside of your heart, which is much greater than the pillow you lay your head on. I would rather have peace than riches. Amen? And so some of you, God is calling, it's time to leave the comfort behind. You can't stay there anymore, because where I'm taking you is going to actually end up being way more comfortable than where you're at right now. So if you'd say, yeah, I think, God, that's me. I think that today you're saying, I can't stay here. There's a situation that I've been comfortable in that I shouldn't be comfortable in, that I need to let go of, and I need to move forward. Would you circle that? Would you circle my comfort? And would you write down underneath what that comfortable thing is you need to let go? Number three, dead things. Dead things. Matthew chapter 8, the same story as before. It says, another of one of Jesus' disciples. This is not one of the 12. Jesus had hundreds of people following him. One of the disciples said to Jesus, Lord, let me first go and bury my father, and then I will follow you. And Jesus said to him, follow me, and let the dead bury the dead. Now, when you read that, how many of you think, Jesus is a jerk? I got to put my father's funeral arrangements together. I got to go bury him. man, just follow me and let your dad bury himself. Now, we could talk for an hour of all the implications of why he said that, culturally, what's going on. I don't want to waste your time with that today. It's not relevant, actually. What's relevant is that some of you are staying in dead things. Some of you are staying and inhabiting places and things in your life that are dead, that are producing no fruit, that's absolutely dead and doing nothing, not giving you any life any longer. And Jesus is saying, hey, quit kicking the dead horse. Let the dead bury the dead. You need to focus on things that will bear fruit. You need to focus on things that will bring life. And so let the dead bury the dead. You can't stay where there's death. You need to move to where there's life. And just to get a rein on your sinful heart, this is not like my marriage is dead, so I'm out. You know, my kids, deadbeats, I'm out. No, but you know that there's dead things in your life. You need to move forward. And what churches are so good at sometimes is churches are so good at pastors and preachers trying to preach to you what that dead thing is, and I'm not here to do that today. I think the Holy Spirit can speak to your heart. I think the Spirit can speak to your heart and say, this is what's dead. Now, prophetically, if God gives me something to share with you, I will, but I think that you're able to listen to God. And I believe that the voice of God today can impact your heart and say, hey, there's dead things, and you can't stay there. Those dead things aren't mine. You need to let them go. You need to cross the line and follow Jesus, and he's going to bring you towards life. Number four. Again, if there's a dead thing, circle it. Write down what it is. Number four, your way of life. Your way of life. Now, again, this is not some subversive way for me as a preacher to say, here's these lifestyles you need to walk away from. Because, again, I believe God can speak to your heart. And the lifestyle that I'm going to point out in and of itself was not actually sinful. There are some lifestyles that some of us live that aren't even sinful that God's calling us away from because he's got something better for us. Maybe there are some lifestyles that are sinful that God's calling us away from because what he has is better for us. But again, I trust that God can speak to your heart. I want to point out this verse in Matthew chapter 9 where Jesus calls Matthew, who was known as Levi. It says, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth and said to him, follow me, and he rose and followed Jesus. Now, this is a little different than leaving your plans because Peter and Andrew and James and John, they were just simply vocational fishermen. But Matthew was a tax collector. He was kind of a traitor to his own people. He was working for the Roman Empire, and he was collecting taxes from his own people, which in and of itself, it was gray. Now, he was doing something sinful in that these tax collectors would typically take more off the top for themselves and keep it for themselves, and that was a way of life that he had committed his life to. And Jesus came along to his table where he was collecting taxes and just says, hey, Matthew, you can't stay here. You've got a way of life that you're living that's just not good, Matthew. I've got something better for you. And so for some of you, it's not your plans. It's your very way of life. The very way you look at reality. The very way that God interacts with you and you're resisting him. The very things that you're doing, that they're not just actions, but more of a perpetual lifestyle that's going in the wrong direction. And this may be your physical health. This may be your spiritual health. This might be relational. This might be sexual. This might be a drug or an alcohol issue. We're not here to point those things out, but we're here to say, is God speaking to your heart today that there is a way of life that you're living, sinful or not, that you just simply need to move away from? So if that's you, would you circle that? My way of life. I can't stay there. And then write down below, like, this is the way of life that I've just simply been okay with. Maybe it wasn't bad, maybe it wasn't good, but right now it's not good for me anymore. And I need to give that to God. Number five. We've touched on this already, but maybe just your money, your possessions, your treasures. We looked at this story already, Matthew 19. Jesus said to the rich young ruler, if you would be perfect, go sell what you possess, give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. For some of you, you're just not willing to let go of your stuff. You're not willing to let go of your resources. You're not willing to let go of your treasure. You're not willing to let go of your money. And I've been very deliberate to not make this series about giving to a church or tithing. That's not what this series is about. But what is God calling you to let go of so that he can give you more? I know that Malachi chapter 3, it says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse so that there will be room in my, there'll be food in my house, God says. And he says, test me in this and see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour out on you a blessing until you have no more need. As the pastor of a church, it's not my business of whether you're giving to this church or not, but I want people to learn to be generous. I want people to learn to give. I want people to learn the art and the obedience and the lifestyle of tithing, because God's promises are true. When you're faithful with a little, God puts you over much. And that might not be financial riches. It might just be joy or peace or contentment that you never had before. And the one thing I learned about my own life, struggling with finances, is that the more I'm willing to give finances away, the less I worry about them. And so what's God speaking to you? Is there a possession, a treasure, a wallet, a checkbook that you're just not willing to give up to God? And God's saying, hey, the stingy ways that you've lived in, you can't stay there anymore. I'm calling you to something greater. I'm calling you to something more. You can't stay here. So if that's you, if you say, yeah, I'm having a hard time and God this morning is calling me and saying you can't stay here with my finances, my possession, my treasure, whatever it is, I would encourage you, circle that. Circle that right down underneath. This is what that thing is. Just four more. Number six, John chapter 5, it says, now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. Adam and I have been to this place before. You can go to Israel. You can go to Bethesda today where this happened. It says, in these colonnades lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for how long? 38 years. 38 years this guy had suffered with the same thing. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, Jesus said to him, and listen to this very carefully, focus in closely. Jesus says this, do you want to be healed? And I want you to grab a hold of that for yourself this morning. The question that Jesus asked here, do you want to be healed? Do you want to get better? Do you want to get out of this depression? Do you want to get out of this anxious cycle? Do you want to get out of this abusive relationship? Do you want to get out of this illness? Do you want to get out of this pain? Do you want to get out of a job you thought you could never move forward in? It says, do you want to be healed? Now, that question seems like it's got an obvious answer, but I think from our own experiences, or at least the experiences of people we've observed, that's not always an easy question. Do you want to be better? Because a lot of times for me, it's like, actually, I want to sulk a little bit longer. I'd actually like to lay in this bed a little bit more. And I know what depression feels like. I know what anxiety feels like. I know what it's like to be resigned to something. But Jesus is asking us today, do you want to be healed? Do you want to get out of that bed? The sick man answered Jesus and said, sir, I don't have anybody to put me into the pool when the water stirred up. And while I'm going, another person steps down before me. Everybody's always getting something that I don't get. It's not fair. People are going in front of me. People are going before me. I never get my healing. God's always giving it to them. I can't even get up off the ground to go and find healing for myself. Jesus said to him, get up. Get up. Jesus, I've been an invalid for 38 years. I can't. Get up. Take up your bed and walk. And at once, the man was healed, and he took up his bed, and he walked. Some of you, here it is, number six, have resigned to things. And God is telling you this morning, you can't stay there anymore. You can't stay there anymore. You've resigned to this, but you can't stay there anymore. Well, Pastor, what if God never heals me? What if he never takes me out of this situation? I don't know. Maybe he won't. But I know that his plans for you are much higher than yours. And I know that there is joy unspeakable. I know that no eye has seen and no heart of man has ever imagined what's in store for those who love God. I know that God works all things together for good according to those who love him and are called according to his purposes. I know those things. So I'm not here to say, like, it's going to be better in heaven. But it is. It is. It really is. And I'd rather walk into paradise with hope in my heart of all the great things in front of me than to be resigned to all I left behind on this earth. So God's saying to you this morning, hey, you can't stay there. You can't stay there. What does that look like for me? I don't know. It might mean you apply for a different job. It might mean you go back to school. It might mean you break off a relationship you shouldn't be in. It might mean that you go to the doctor. It might mean that you go talk to a counselor. I don't know what it looks like for you, but I know steps I've had to take where I've had to say, I can't do this on my own. I can't resign myself here. I can't stay here anymore. So I'm going to go to see a doctor. I'm going to see a therapist. I'm going to talk about my problems. You can't stay here. So if that's you, if you say, Pastor, there's things in my life I've resigned to, I'd love for you to circle that number six and then right underneath. This is what I have resigned to. Number seven. This one seems like such a no-brainer, but it's just not. Your sin. You can't stay there. People were asking the Apostle Paul, like, hey, because grace covers me, because God forgives me of all my sins, should I keep on sinning so I get more grace and more forgiveness? And Paul actually says, heck no. Say, man, never be. No. And so here's the deal. Jesus died for your sins, not just to forgive you of your sins, but to set you free from your sins. Jesus gives you power by the Holy Spirit to overcome your sin by his power. And though sin may bring pleasure, sin ultimately enslaves, and you'll never walk in the freedom that God intends for you to have from your sin. And so Jesus is saying to us this morning, hey, I have died for your sins, and you can't stay there anymore. You say, well, Pastor, what if I sin now that I'm a Christian? Welcome to the club. I do that hourly. The difference and the unique battle here is that for someone who's been saved by the grace of God, when we do sin, which we will often, that we acknowledge the sin, we repent of that sin, say, Jesus, we're turning towards you and away from our sin, and we walk in the light, and we don't try to hide that we're sinners, we don't try to hide that we're messed up, and we don't celebrate our sin, but we just say, yes, this is us. We are wholly dependent upon the grace of God, and God has saved me from my sin, and so I can't stay there. And for some of you, it might be instantaneous where God delivers you from this besetting sin that you're in. But for people like me, I've learned sometimes that takes a decade. Sometimes that takes several decades. Sometimes that takes a generation. Some of you are breaking generational sins right now. You're not passing them on to your grandchildren because God's working in you. And so I want to let you know, you say, well, okay, but this is okay because God's forgiven me. I'm walking in his grace, and I'm just wanting to tell you, like, do you really want to look at the cross of Christ and spit on it and not be grateful for what his life, death, and resurrection has done? So you can't stay there. You can't stay there anymore. You may have resigned to this way of sinning, but you can't stay there anymore. God's calling you to something greater. And if you would confess some of these sins to some of your brothers and sisters in Christ, oh man, if someone in our church looks at you with disgust and aghast and says, you know, get behind me, Satan, you sinner, like, let me know. That person's like, you don't know Jesus. But this is what people should look at you and do. Like when you confess, like this is what I'm struggling with, people should look at you and say, man, I struggle too. Let's pray. Let's support each other. Let's encourage each other. Welcome to the club of people who struggle. Thank God for the Holy Spirit, which helps us overcome our struggles. So this is not a time to judge, though there's times where we need to hold each other accountable. It's a time to come alongside of people and say, you can't stay there anymore, man. You can't stay there anymore. It's time to move on to something greater. Last three. Number eight, John 12:26. It says, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. God is asking some of us today, would you just let go of your own self-interests? Would you let go of your own self-service and see that there are people to serve around you? I know that we can't change our own hearts and make our hearts unselfish, but I know that most of us have very selfish hearts, that if we would give those hearts to God, if we would trust the Lord with all of our heart, that God could transform our heart and turn it from being very self-centered and selfish and involved in our own self-interest and self-service, and he can change those around so it's actually our desire to, out of the overflow of our hearts, begin to serve others. And so we can't stay there. We can't stay there. I would encourage all of us in this community, in this city, like, I'm not going to open a political can of worms here, so don't hear that. But if you drive through our city, like, homelessness is an absolute crisis. Absolutely. And man, our hearts are really good at judging, aren't they? Aren't our hearts great in knowing how what we would have done if we would have grown up in that traumatic household? Aren't we awesome knowing that if we would have been abused like that person as a child, or if we would struggle with that mental illness, or we had an addiction in the past, how great we would be, right? We're great at that. Look at us. But we can't stay there. We can't stay in a place of our own self-interest and our own self-service. And man, I'm guilty of this. And God, would you change my heart and actually give me a heart that would want to serve people and would want to listen to people's stories? And I might not have a solution, but I could at least have my heart changed so it's not just focused on me and it actually sees other people. You can't stay there. God actually says you can't love me if you don't love people, because I am love. And so some of us, we say, yes, we love God, but the way that we treat and talk about and look at people, we certainly don't love people, which shows that our love for God is not where it should be. And so what do? God, help us. God, I trust you with all my heart. I'm not leaning on my own understanding and all my ways. I'm going to acknowledge you, and I want you to make my path straight. Church, could we let go of our self-interest and our self-service and see that there is a world that needs served? And if your mind, if the word but came up, but, just let go of it. Let go of that but. No. I don't have to have a but that tells me I can't do that. Instead, I'm just saying, God, open up my heart to serve, to love, to have other people's interest in mind. Number nine, your shame. Your shame. John 21. Peter denied Jesus three times before his crucifixion. Peter went back to his job as a fisherman because of his shame. Jesus met him following the resurrection at the same place he called him from 3 years before. When Jesus said, "Follow me," 3 years ago, when Jesus was denied three times by Peter, Jesus shows up after he covers Peter's sins of forsaking and rejecting Jesus. And three times, just like Peter denied Jesus three times, Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And every single time, Peter says, "God, you know that I love you. Jesus, you know that I love you." And then Jesus says, "Then feed my sheep. Be about my business, Peter. Your shame is holding you back, but I'm here three times to overcome the power of your shame." Some of you are so held back by shame that you're not walking in the freedom God has called you to walk in, to release other people from their shame, because you're so ashamed of your shame. And God's saying, you can't stay there. You can't. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And so if you are in Christ and if you are feeling shame and condemnation, I want you to know that's not Jesus. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will convict us of our sins to push us towards Jesus, but he will not condemn us or shame us because in Christ we are free from the sins that we were. You can't stay in your shame. You can't stay there. You can't stay there. If you're stuck in your shame, I can't ever do that because I was an addict. I can't ever do that because of how I slept around. I can't ever do this because I used to be this person, because I used to sell this or do that, or I can't. And God's wanting you to know, like, hey, that's how you used to be. You're a new creation in me. Let go of your shame. Move forward. You can't stay there. Last one is this. Same story, Peter and Jesus. Jesus restores Peter three times, just like Peter denied Jesus three times. And then Peter, I so can just empathize with Peter, because after all of this, Peter then says, but Jesus, what about John? What about this teenage kid who's your favorite? What about him? Because after Jesus restored Peter three times, I don't know why Jesus does this, but he's like, hey, Peter, let me tell you about how you're going to die someday. It's going to be real horrible. Thanks a lot, Jesus. I appreciate that. You know, 30 years from now, I'm going to be crucified upside down in Rome. Psh, I'm with you. But what about John? Is John going to be crucified upside down? He's your favorite, right? And Jesus says, if it's my will that John stays alive even until I return, none ya, Peter. None ya. What's that to you? You, here it is. This is how we end our message. Follow me. You follow me. But what about none of your business? You follow me. You and me, Peter. This is not about me and John. It's about you and me. And that's where we end this today. It's not about Jesus and the person sitting next to you. It's not about Jesus and your neighbor that you like to judge. It's not about Jesus and your husband that you think is a deadbeat. It's not about Jesus and your wife who you think is a nag. It's not about Jesus and your ex-husband who is always, no, it's not about them. It's about you and Jesus. It's you and him. And Jesus says, you focus on me and you today. And me and you today, this is what I'm saying. I'm saying you can't stay here. I'm saying there's things you've resigned to that you need to give to me to walk in to all that could be. So nothing is mine. It's God's. When I'm faithful with what God has blessed me with, I will be entrusted with much. And out of my abundance, I can be a blessing and I can give more. So first ask for you today as our band comes up and leads us into some songs to close. If you could bow your heads and close your eyes just so it really can be between you and Jesus. The same request that Jesus made to these 10 people 2,000 years ago, he's making to us today. Follow me. Follow me. And that's all Jesus wants, is for us to follow him. And if you're battling in your heart right now with what we talked about before, I can't follow Jesus because I could follow Jesus, but I got to get my act together. I got to get my life straightened out. I got to get myself cleaned up. I need to get myself to a place where I'm over this addiction. I need to get myself to a place where I'm done sinning. I want to be the first to tell you today, you will never get there. Jesus doesn't want those things. He wants you. He wants your heart. He says, follow me. And when you follow Jesus, Jesus says in Matthew 16, if anyone would come after me, if anyone would follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whenever we make a decision to follow Jesus, it's always a decision where we understand that I can't stay here. Because following requires moving forward. I've got to move forward. And because of Jesus, we're not just automatically perfect people, but I know because of Jesus that we're people who are progressing and moving forward, becoming more and more like Christ. So much so that God sees us as righteous because of the righteousness of Christ who we follow. So Jesus is saying, follow me. And the question I have for you today is, have you ever chosen to follow Jesus before? Have you ever chosen to surrender your life to Christ? Jesus said, God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him won't perish, but have everlasting life. Paul, he said, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Ephesians 2 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. This is not a result of work so that no one may boast. It says, for we are his workmanship, created for good works by Christ Jesus beforehand by God so that we can walk in those things. So God's not looking for perfection today because Jesus obtained that for us already. What God's looking for is a heart that says, I can't stay here. I'm going to follow him. With no one looking around, with your eyes closed, if you'd say, Pastor Anthony, today I've never surrendered my life to Christ, and that's today what I need to do. I need to follow Jesus. I want to submit my life to him, and I don't have anything figured out, but I know I need Jesus, and that's where I'm putting my faith. I need him. I'm going to follow. I can't stay here. If that's you, would you raise your hand as high as you can? Put it right back down. Say, that's me today. Would you pray for me, Pastor? I need Jesus. I'm choosing him. I want him. I want salvation. I want a relationship with God. I want sins forgiven. I want to follow Jesus because I know I can't stay here anymore. Anybody at all? Say, that's me. I need Christ. I need Jesus. I want him. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to leave it all behind. And if you and God have made that decision, yeah, God, I'm following your son, Jesus. That's where I'm at. If you put your faith in Christ, if Jesus has saved you and set you free, if you're filled with his spirit, walking and working for him, here's what I know is that each and every one of us have at least one of those 10 things that we need to let go of today as we end this series. Each and every one of us have one of those 10 things that God's saying to us today. You can't stay there. You can't resign yourself to that. It's time to move forward. So here's the instructions I'll give. You got those papers. Again, if you want to take that paper, and if you could just take maybe your 20 seconds, Casey's going to start leading us into a song, but if you can take about 20, 25, 30 seconds of silence and just take inventory of your heart and say, God, on this list, where are some things I need to give to you? And I'd like you to actually write some things down under those circles. Like, yeah, here is a place that I have resigned to. Here is something dead I've been holding on to. I want you to write that thing down. And as we begin to sing, we're going to close here with three songs. I'm going to ask some of our staff and leaders, you can just kind of come linger up by the front. And as we sing, I'd like to ask some of you to come for prayer. Take a step of faith, come for prayer, and agree with someone in faith that God will give you the ability to not stay there anymore, but to actually leave it behind. We'll say, well, what if someone sees me come up for prayer and they know I need to let go of something? And they'll say, wow, they're human too. You might give someone the faith and the courage to step forward and receive prayer as well. And you might say, well, being prayed for by someone, that doesn't give me those things. And I would say, okay. But I know there's power in prayer. I know there's power in agreeing with one another in Jesus' name to be able to be set free and to no longer resign ourselves to things. And so we're going to sing these three songs. And as we sing, again, if you want prayer, come up to the front. If you didn't have a chance to take communion earlier, there's communion on both sides of our stage. We'd love to pray with you today. Trina will come up and dismiss us in a bit. Do me a favor if you could. Don't be like, this is the perfect time to sneak out. Because if that's you, I think God's actually working on your heart and wants to resolve something in there. So let's give these next three songs to Jesus today and be respectful for those who'd like prayer. So God, we give this time to you. It's yours. In Jesus' name, amen.